Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Music on my
welcome mind. To Up to 90.
Hey,
how are you, Mrs.
Grant?
It's a wonder. Good. It's a wonder you can squeeze in the podcast. You've had such a high flying day.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
50 minutes listening to Emma's success, and I'm sick of it. We're now starting this podcast at 10 to 9 because I can't handle it anymore. Anyway, it's all top secret stuff to be revealed.
It's done now.
It's done. Done to be released at a later stage in December. How are you going to be, Mrs.?
You're going to be in it too.
Well, I don't know if I am. I think it was one of those things where Fred was having Zoom pints with someone. He was like, listen, why don't you throw something in? They could just see me like hanging around in the background without my bra. Fred is just a devil for this. Like, I need a heads up. If he's doing Zoom pints, like, I'm in a spaghetti top with no bra on. It's like Hooters in here and not in a sexy way because my breasts used to be my best assets and now, as I've said before, you could probably plait my nipples at this stage. But you just need a heads up. And you know you're doing the, oh, hi. And you're kind of just trying to cover your breasts with your elbows.
Well, right? I don't have the breast issues. No, I still wouldn't want to.
You still wouldn't want.
No bra string top and like, hey, everybody. But when you were saying there about Fred being an awful devil for not giving you heads up, it just reminds me of my dad used to spend my childhood basically taking photographs of my mom pulling her knickers out of her hole, you know, like you get out of a car, you know, the old cars, you'd be absolutely welded to the seat.
Yeah,
so there's like an album full of these photographs of, and this was when, like, now I remember when I still lived at home and she, you know, the way your mom kind of like, oh, I'll do a bit of your washing for you to make up the load. And then she's looking at all your knickers going like, well, how'd you even wear these? What even are these? Because, of course, there was no thongs in Ireland until, I don't know, maybe.
I think well, after the song, the thong, yeah. thong, everyone was like, hang on.
Yeah.
We rang our American cousins and we were like, what is this thing of which you speak? And then we put our order in. So yeah. I think after that song, Pennies, then we're like, listen,
got shipment.
Let's ride this wave.
Because I think we'd only just figured out that that's what Australians were calling flip-flops. And then Cisco came along with this other version. So there's an album of her picking her knickers out of her hole. And then there's another photograph, which, I mean, is terrible, right? She's cleaning, like, even all it say, yeah, that is a terrible picture. And this is like, you know, over 30 years ago, but she's cleaning the jacks, right? And she has the marigolds on and she's holding something up. I don't know whether it's like a bath mat or whatever, and she has the old fag hanging off the lip.
Of course she does.
And my
that's
dad
what kept her
time,
slim. That's what kept her slim.
Big style. So he just spent his time going around taking pictures of her, fagging her out, pulling the knickers out of her hole.
Okay, so he was a bit of a hound then.
He was. And you see, obviously, back in the day, it's not like you could say delete that. That was going in to get developed.
It was going up to the chemist. Like, I mean, everyone was seeing that picture.
I know. That's actually pretty bad when I think about that.
I do kind of miss that. I do kind of miss that time in your life when you'd go in to pick up the pictures and you'd be acting all coy, picking up the pics from the weekend. No, and the chemist knowing full well what was going on down by the wall.
Up to 90 with Emma and Julie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was pretty thrilling, to be fair.
It's like playing the lotto when you're a minor, because you're just, you know, it's not going to happen, but there is a possibility that there's going to be a decent photograph of you.
I mean, yeah, like it's devil. I mean, of course, it's the law of averages. I was saying to somebody yesterday, I'm a devil. Obviously, goes without saying, taking loads of photos of Ted. But you know the way, yeah, as a parent, you see what the camera doesn't see. So yeah. I look at these pictures, I'm like, that's not Ted. So I just keep taking another 75 because I'm like, the camera is not reflecting what I see. Like even Fred, where every cliche going, because he said to me yesterday, just clasped his hands together, put it under the chin and said, serious question, should we get him into assets? And I was like, you are messing. He's like, no, he's like, I'm fully serious. He needs to be with the modelling agency. And I'm looking at Ted and he's just after doing a huge poo. He's weeing on himself. I'm like, I don't know, can I guarantee studio behaviour yet? But that's when you know you've lost the plot. You've just got every stereotype going. Well, it's like the world needs to see this.
I'd say get him into assets now. Get him to do the early work, because when they get into like toddler and bigger kids, it's actually a fucking pain in the hole to bring them to those things.
Do you know, speaking of, I know, I can imagine, speaking of parents and embarrassing situations, a friend of mine told me her mom joined Instagram, which is just, can we all agree? Can we just have one safe space? I mean, next it's going to be TikTok. Like, we've all migrated away from the Facebook because we're doing so much. Facebook is this new thing. It's a cross between Facebook and TikTok. Thank you. 2021, here we come. But you know the way you were doing more and more self-censoring on Facebook? So you're like, I can be creatively free on Instagram, but no more, because, of course, the parents somehow followed us over there. But she said to me, I mean, this is nothing new. It's happened, I'm sure, most people. Yeah. But her mom joined Instagram, and then her mom, she discovered, had liked her boyfriend in secondary school was after getting married. So she'd liked the pictures, and she was like, no! You can't do this. So her first action on Instagram was to like her secondary school boyfriend's wedding photos.
That's rough.
Desperate. I know. Pretty. Like, this is just. But it does happen. It does. Friend of mine, she, years ago, you know the way, like, you'd be just doing a little scroll and a bit of a creep dive, and she ended up on, like, her, you know, you're making chit-chat to your colleague of a morning. Yeah. This is boom time Ireland. So you're, like, having a chit-chat in the coffee area, the canteen. You go off, you go back to your desk. And he had casually mentioned that it had been his sister's deb's the previous weekend. So she's there. It's boom time. So we're all getting paid for doing sweet fuck all. She's checked on her Bebo. What else do you do? She actually ended up on Facebook and on his little sister's Deb's photos. But hilariously, at that moment, she still doesn't know what happened. But the internet gods intervened and her screen froze. So she could not. So she was obviously, like the rest of us, she's pressing off and on. She's turning it back on, but the picture's still there. It's completely frozen. So she can't even actually switch this thing off. So your man comes along and he's like, oh, are you having a bit of trouble there? Because he just happens to be the IT guy. And then he goes, switches on, and there's this picture of his little sister at her deb's. Now, she did leave that job a few months later, but this, you can't explain that shit away.
That is dodge.
But there is something when somebody mentions a Debs, you just want to see that dress, don't you?
Oh, but didn't wasn't somebody saying to us they wanted to hear what our Debs stories were?
Oh my! It was that in the Up to 90 WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I was like, do you know what? I actually know nothing about Julie's Debs.
So I wore a brown Debs dress because that's how much I hate myself. It was brown, a brown Debs dress.
Okay.
And I went to the Debs with because just to refresh people's memories here, I was a complete rot in secondary school. So I had the misfortune of being best buds with an absolute stun, which is kind of what happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she was going to the Debs and she's now, by the way, it's really sad for her because she's kind of failed at life. It's a bit of a sad story. So she's an architect and she's just kind of pissing around building children's hospitals and stuff. So it's kind of a tragic tale. But at the time she was flying high, you know, we didn't know what was to come. But so she was kind of a bit of an all-rounder and she was going to the Debs with this lad who could not believe his luck because she was like such a stun. And then she convinced me, she was like, I think you need to go with his mate. And I was like, please do not do this to me. She was like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So we went, he was a lovely guy. His name was Kevin. And of course, like he got ridiculously drunk and went for the shift. And I was like, Stephanie, this is what I knew would happen. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just here. We're just here together on a Debs date by complete default. Like, we've only been put together because our mutual friends have decided their Debs date should happen. So then he got like really, really drunk and was like, come on, shift me. And I was like, no. And then it just was super awkward. And I just remember sitting at that table with the vodka and Red Bulls. And I was like, okay, can we get the bus home now? It was in the Red Cow Inn. I lost my phone. You know, I just remember sitting there playing Snake. And Stephanie came over and was like, make an effort. And I was like, I don't want to shift him. And like, by the way, this had happened to me so often in my life at that point, you know, in terms of people not wanting to shift me. So this is not me and my high horse or anything. I was just like, I'm just going to sit here playing Snake, if that's okay.
But this was your Debs, was it?
That was my Debs. And then it was funny because people in Dingle always forget that I didn't actually have my Debs in Dingle. So this would have been in the Red Cow roundabout. But hilariously, people, you know, my memories are so skewed. People always say to me, Julie, do you remember in our Debs? And I'm like, I wasn't at the fucking Debs. But people refuse to believe it.
Oh, okay.
They're like, do you remember we were doing Jäger bombs by the bar? And you're like, no, it didn't happen.
But you didn't go to school ever in Dingle? You were just there for summers?
I was just there. No, I was like Orphan Annie riding the rails. I used to be there. Oh my God, I'd be there probably every second weekend, if not more.
Okay.
And was obviously always there for, I did go through periods where I'd be there during school time, but I wouldn't be going to school.
Okay.
So I was just like Orphan Annie floating around the streets of Dingle for so long.
Was nobody questioning why isn't Julie in school?
Ah, yeah. Like people, I think, you know, my granddad would say things like, that child should be in school. And we'd all kind of laugh at him. But like, it was fine. And then in fifth year, you see, the problem was I basically didn't attend fifth year at all because all my friends were doing fourth year. So always a recipe for disaster because then you skip ahead, but like you don't have that extra year to play with. So I would have been floating around Dingle all the time.
We still ended up doing quite good in the old leaving and all that.
Yeah, well, I did do well in the Leamster. Fred, actually, well, I mean, that's just says it all about the Leamster because I'm not a smart person at all. Like, I think I was just good at memorising stuff. I pulled together in sixth year, but Fred did say to someone the other day that I actually got 400 points more than him in the Leaving Cert. And then he always adds on, and Julie didn't even do that well. But I did. I got 400 points more than him. But who gives a fuck? Really?
Still all right, though.
Yeah, but look, the Leaving Cert, it does not, it really, look, it is what it is. I suppose if you feel this mad vocation to be a doctor,
yeah,
it's easy for me to say the Leaving Cert is like a pint of shite. But like, if you really want something, obviously the Lima search is not a pint of shite. So you don't want to be underestimating how tough it is on kids and all that. And like, yeah. It's super stressful. But yeah, so that was my Deb story. But there, so I suppose there wasn't really a story there as such. And I just remember, oh my God, I was so lastminute.com because I got my makeup done on the day and I hadn't an appointment. So I was super late for the Deb's party beforehand when everyone was leaving the gaff. And then they didn't know what to do with my hair. So they did like a tight, tight Irish dancer curl.
Okay. Yeah.
It was so bad. And then I had
can't imagine you like being late and rushing and all. Sounds so unlike you.
Turquoise eyeshadow. I was just with a brown Deb's dress. That's how much I did not place a value on myself.
Okay.
I said, of all the colours on the spectrum, I think I deserve brown for my special day. Do you have a shade that's kind of quite similar to maybe almost like a poo? Yeah, that's for me.
Poo-poo.
What's your Deb story? I'm sure you have an actual story. That's not even...
Well, I don't. That's the thing. I don't have a Deb story because I didn't go to my Deb's. So I had Ella in the May. And now I could have gone to my Deb's. I could have, you know, like people went to the Deb's when they were pregnant, all sorts. But obviously I'd had her in the May. And I just felt like I didn't want to go because... I felt like, I think once Easter hit, I didn't go back into school because I just felt like this is kind of a bit ridiculous putting on a uniform. And, you know, I just felt like I was pastel. So when the Debs came around, I was just like, no, I think I'm kind of over it and I didn't want to go. But on reflection, I think what was really going on was... I think what was really going on there is that I wasn't ready to go out and like cut loose. Do you know what I mean? I was still kind of, I don't know, maybe like being quite guarded or whatever. I think it was definitely a self-preservation thing that I think I was making out like, oh, like me, please. I'm too sophisticated now. And I don't think that's what it actually was. I think it was just like protecting myself or whatever. I think I felt like I didn't know how to.
Well, you probably felt quite vulnerable, I'd imagine. I kind of, which would be feeling kind of emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah, I'd say I probably just didn't, I just didn't know how to kind of go out and like cut loose properly, you know, that kind of way. Because, and you see, I didn't realize at the time that people can feel that when they're a new mother at any age, but I just felt like a bit of an alien. I felt completely different to everyone else. So I never went to my Deb's, and then all my mates and like, even people who were like, say, I was friendly with, I wouldn't have been hanging out with them after school, but like I was friendly with them in school. You know, they'd bump into people and everyone was like, oh, Emma, Jesus, you didn't fucking miss anything. It was a pile of shite.
But they're always shite. Yeah,
yeah,
they're always shite.
Okay, grand. But then what I was saying to the WhatsApp group was, I said, so never did my Debs, whatever. And then years later, I pitched an idea to this production company called Animo about that I could go back and do my Debs as an adult. And obviously you're making it out to be this thing like, oh, you know, like I really missed out on it and stuff and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, at that stage, like you've fucking moved on with your life, but you're trying to pitch a fucking TV show. So, you know, you kind of ham it up or whatever. And they know that you're hamming it up as well. So they got a bit of money to do a pilot. So we went and did a pilot and I think, oh, Granny was in it.
Oh, so Granny McKeever.
Yeah, so Granny was in it and my mate Laura, I know you and Laura have this thing going on, but Laura, you weren't around at the time.
Fuck off, Laura. That's all Laura, I have to say.
Laura was in it and I was kind of actually chatting to them about their Debs and how they kind of thought like, oh no, Emma, you should definitely go off and do your Debs. So then the pilot went in. And this is back in the day when RTÉ used to do like these 1 hour shows with new people as like a way in. You know the way now you might be lucky to maybe possibly get 7 minutes on the player, but no one can watch the player because it doesn't work. So then I met somebody in RTÉ and the pile had gone in. They were like, yeah, no, it's looking good. Like the feedback is positive. And, you know, I'd say it could be a possibility. So I was like, yes, deadly. Then I get a phone call from this fella, Eddie Doyle, who used to be like head of comedy in RTÉ. He's since gone to
the north.
The north, yeah.
Yeah. He's in the BBC now, I think.
Yeah. So he phoned me. You know, like, you get a call from someone like this and it's like fucking 6:30 on a Tuesday or something. And they're like, oh, have you gotten a minute? And you're just about to, like, take the first spoonful of your dinner. And you're just like, yeah, absolutely no problem. Never been a better time to talk. Thanks a million. And he's like, so basically, Alison has a show about not making her debs and you have a show about not making your debs. I was like, right. And then he just leaves it like, so maybe you and Alison can have a talk about how you can do a show together about not making your debts. I was like, okay.
But why didn't Alison make her debts? I'm curious. So she didn't go to her debts.
She didn't go to her debts. So at the time, I knew nothing about this. I didn't know that she had done a pilot about not going to her debts. So I think her story was...
I think that's unfair. That's essentially playing you off one another a little bit, yes, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm sure I obviously knew that he'd had the same conversation with her, either before me or after me. But I knew, like, this was the first I heard of it. So he was like, basically, your options are to put your pilots in and see which one gets made, or team up together, and then you know something will definitely get made. So she didn't go to her deb's. And I don't think I ever had a conversation with her about this or anything. She didn't go to her devs because she was stood up by the guy that she was meant to be going with. Yeah. So kind of.
Because I was going to say, I had a little bit of a, you know, I have a lot of repressed memories. I had a bit of a flashback to something devs related there. So I really empathize with Alison from the stood up point of view.
Oh, why? Were you meant to go with somebody else?
No, I was, yeah, I actually remember, this is so cruel, but I remember this guy, I used to hang around with him, he was super good looking, but he asked me to his debs, and then I was waiting for the follow-up, and the follow-up never came, and then I found out he brought another girl to the debs. And it was really sad because all the lads in Dingle presumed I was going with him to the debs. So then when he rocked up, and do you know the really sad thing was, and this sounds like, you know, this just sounds like total Drew Barrymore, like kind of, you know, I suppose teen rom-com. But it was so sad because when I saw him with hers, they were all outside, like they'd always go for drinks, like kind of, I suppose, like you'd go to Long's, which is since died to death, Long's. It used to be this pub that we'd all hang out in, but they'd all be outside Garvey's, the supermarket there, who, by the way, Garvey's, you need to get on board, you need to sponsor us ASAP, by the way. But I just remember seeing him with her and I was like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. And I felt like such a fool that I thought he'd actually bring me to the debs. And then he met me the following week and he was like, come here, sorry, you knew I was messing anyway with the whole like Debs thing, because just I'd already asked her, so like you weren't pissed off. And I was like, no, of course not. But it just was the most hurtful thing, like when I saw him with her, I just thought it was so cruel. And I remember he saw me and then afterwards then the fact that he tried to dismiss it as knew I was joking. So it's kind of, you know, things like that really affect you, don't they? Because I think that's why for so long after, sure, probably I'd say, no, I'm not putting it all on him, but it would just always be the case that I'd always presume if somebody was like into me a bit that he's kind of taking the piss or that he's messing or, you know, that it's not for real. But I just remember seeing him there and she was such a babe and I was like, oh, he's such a fool. But it's just because we got on so well that I thought, well, maybe he's asking me as kind of a good crack date. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah. You see, I didn't think
he fancied me, but I thought that as friends he was asking me.
See, that's the thing, because I think now it's much more like people will just go with their mates and they don't need to have a date, and it's just a lot, it just seems to be a lot more chilled, whereas like back when we were doing it, you needed to have a date.
It was intense, yeah.
And I didn't want to have the thing of asking somebody because I just felt like it would make a statement, because I just felt like people would be, and I don't think I'm like being like, oh, Emma, like, fuck's sake, who'd be looking at you? But it's something fucking to look at. The last time people would have seen me would have been with a massive bump. They would have seen me briefly during the whole leaving, but now she's back. Wonder who the fuck she's going to bring. Do you know what I mean? So I just felt like, no.
That there'd be a bit of judgment involved, which there probably would have been, actually.
Oh, there totally would have. Yeah, sure. Because we were all kids and you fuck all else to do.
But it is, I think that's why, I think, you know, Eva, it is funny. Like, honestly, so many people down to the years have said to me, do you remember at our Deb studio? I'm like, just to remind you, it didn't actually go to the Debs ever in Dingle. People can't believe it. But, and there were quite a few other fellas, if I'm honest, like, they could have fucking asked me. You know, we'd either hung out enough or we'd shifted enough. But as you say, I think nowadays, maybe young people are just, I mean, I think young people today are just way more emotionally intelligent than we were. And they understand that, like, actually, if we say we'll just go as a gang, it takes the pressure out of it. Whereas when we were doing it, it was like this total Dawson's Creek, like, I don't want to wait for, like, a cutie want to be with, who are you going to ask? And it was that kind of, even the guy, you know, who was trying to shift me in the Red Cow Inn, like, he was like, you know, come on, like, he didn't know more fancied me. It was purely the pressure of the situation that he probably felt that he should chance his arm.
Well, everyone would have been coupled up. It is. But then I've seen some of my mates, Deb's photographs, and I know, you know, I know the stories behind them, or I know the history of how it came to be that they went with that person and whatever. And it does make me, it still makes us giggle now. You know what I mean?
I think very rarely did somebody go with somebody that they were going out with and, you know, like, really just healthy, normal relationship. And now we're going to go to the Debs. Like, none of, I mean, it was, it never, very rarely be that.
Oh, I actually, so, you know, the thing with Alison.
Oh, like, yes. So what became of it?
So we're pitted against each other. We both, I think I'm 100% sure. Maybe we spoke about this after, like, very drunkenly at Vodafone or something, well after the fact. So now I went back to the production company and I was like, oh, so Eddie Doyle called me and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, oh, well, so what do you think about that? Or, you know, how do you feel about that? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know how that would work. I don't even know what that is. And they were like, yeah, no, you should just do your own thing. And I was like, yeah, okay. So she went off and did her own thing. I went and did my own thing. We both already had sent the pilots in. So then when I never heard about mine, I was like, oh, I assume hers is fucking getting made now. And then hers never got made either. As far as I know, she never did a program about her Debs, did she?
Okay, so I don't think so. So here's what we're saying. This needs to get made.
Well, then it was funny because one of the fellas in Orchy who I met, who's now in Virgin Media, he was like, oh, this will show you how fucking long ago this was. He was like, oh, you should wait until your daughter is making hers and do it that year. And I was like, you know, as a joke, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, fuck off. Ha, 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 ha. And that's how long ago it was, because obviously Ella will be having her Debs next year. So I'm just going to go to that. I'm just going to go with
her. Sure, you have to let her have her experience.
But I'm going with her, Julie, like, because it's my time too, you know?
So funny. That's gas. Poor old Ella. I'm speaking on behalf. I'm going to be Ella's advocate in this situation. Imagine. And computer says no. Come here. Are you going to get the vaccine?
Yeah, I don't understand people's thing.
I don't understand it either.
Or people even saying, like, no, like, I will get it, but, like, I just want to wait and see what the story is. What?
Well, I
what?
Put
there
up.
There is no story.
I put up the tweet.
People until it's good to go.
I put up the tweet during the week. I did get hijacked by a few political heads, but I throw it up. Ireland, we want, says, you know, Ireland, like, we're like, we want the vaccine, but we're also like, let's just see how the English get on with it first. Like,
oh, yeah, that's
you know,
good.
Let's just see how we go there. But yeah, I know people kind of say things like, no, I'll get it, but I'm not happy about it. You're like, fuck off. Of course you should be happy about it. Like, talk about a first world problem. I'll get it, but I do think it's rushed.
I want it on my terms. Or, like, the reality is the people who are saying that aren't the people that are going to be top of the queue anyway.
No. I mean, I want to go to the pub. I will pin you to the ground. I will straddle you and I will inject you myself if it means I can go to the pub for tapas. The tapas is never coming back until coronavirus is over. There's no way sharing plates are going to happen.
But I was saying to somebody today, you know, the way like people were putting up the pictures of like the long overdue girly nights out and whatever, great to be fucking back on the pints and whatever. Like, I will go out over Christmas and stuff, but I mean, going out to the pub now to do the nine euro meal and like, you know, the two drinks basically is all you get time to have. It feels more like I'm kind of like, you know, giving my local a nod and just saying, oh, like, fair play to you for putting up the big fucking marquee. Well,
yeah.
I get a bit of business. It's not like, you know, I'm under no illusions that I'm going on a night out because
It's not business as usual. And I do think most of us would be of the opinion, like, I probably speak for a lot of people. Like, I personally am not going to be going out socializing with my mates over Christmas. I just think, especially, you know, hopefully this vaccine will be happening sooner rather than later. We all have kind of vulnerable people in our lives that we're trying to protect. And I know now in Dingle, a lot of the pubs aren't opening. Of course, Dingle, as you know, is like for New Year's Eve, it's notorious. It just is so insanely busy. You cannot walk down the street. Like, people are actually even like moshing past Danny from the Cronas. They don't even give a shit. Like, that's just how busy it is. They're like, I see you, Danny. You kind of are wasting your life if you're doing that, Danny. I'm sorry, but people are literally like, get out of the fucking way, Danny. I need to get to the bridge for 12 o'clock. Like, bitch. Nobody gives a shit. Yeah. But, P.S., we love you, Danny, friend of the podcast. But I think maybe it's, you know, people are kind of wanting to protect themselves, their families. They're not necessary. They might be looking to discourage visitors. I don't know. But personally, I could not relax and have the crack yet. I think we're not there yet. I think maybe as well, like with talk of the vaccine, people think we're, oh, sure, look, we're nearly there, but we're not quite there. It's still as dangerous as it was back in March, presumably.
Well, it's not that I'm not ready to have the crack, but
I'm gagging for a night out, but I just could not relax and enjoy myself as I would like to.
Well, I can't, because I know, like, someone's going to be telling me to go when I'm kind of just starting to feel myself getting a bit loosey.
Yeah, loosey goosey.
Now, the people I probably will see over Christmas are people that I've seen already, whether it's been for like walks or whatever shite, like, but
yeah. Are you seeing Laura? Just be honest with me. Are you seeing Laura?
I will see Laura
I'm just sick of this.
I see her on the, well, I don't see her, but I see her husband Damien on the school run anyway. So I'm kind of like,
that's, you know, fair. Fred had a good joke actually about the vaccine. He was saying it's going to be like fireworks now. You have to go up to the north for the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. When's it going to go? I won't believe it till I see it though. It's all like it's coming in tomorrow, lads.
I know. Well, the North is getting it on Tuesday, the 8th of December.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And, like, we've ordered 890,000 doses. I think my thing is, once the oldies are protected, I feel I can relax a bit. So once, and I actually feel terrible because I was on the walk today. So we're all mad for the walks. But I was on the walk today and I was thinking, yeah, once Dad gets it, I can relax. And then I had this thought, I was like, but what about poor old Mam? It's always probably the one you'd least suspect is going to get it. I was like, once Dad gets it, we can all chill out. I'm like, poor Mam has to be protected as well.
I wonder what's going to happen after, like, it really starts getting rolled out. I don't think people are going to be going back to work Monday to Friday, though.
I think those days are over.
People just aren't going to fucking put up with that. I'm certain not fucking.
And also, I think the landscape has irrevocably changed now, because now everyone's in a position whereby they can justify not having to do these crazy commutes every day, because they're like, look, I've gotten the work done. I'm actually probably more productive.
Yeah.
Like, employers can keep their costs down by, like, letting you work from home. It just is a win. It's a win-win for everyone.
Please, God, no. I know people that, say when they're like, oh, we're going to start kind of easing back into people coming into the office. We can't, you know, it's not going to be everyone all at once. You know, who wants to come in? I know there'll be people that will be putting up their hands straight away to leg it back in. I will be the person at the back of the fucking room, shuffling, just trying to like...
By the bonfire, hood up, with the vape.
No, it's not, the office life is not for me.
The World According to Wikipedia is a podcast that pops the hood of Wikipedia and invites you to take a look inside. Each episode, we will talk to someone from the Wikimedia community on topics like, why are only 18% of biographies about women? Can editing Wikipedia be a protest or activism? And what is it like for the communities working on the 200-plus Wikipedias that are not in English? Subscribe on your podcatcher of choice and follow us on Twitter at world_Wikipedia.
Have you put the scooter up on buy and sell yet?
No, I was saying to Shane, I was like, I should really put that up. I am terrible. I always have these like ideas of like, I should fucking sell that to somebody. I've never sold anything to anybody. I couldn't be fucking arsed with it. I'd sooner just
it's a lot of hassle. I've done it a few times and it's a lot of like, you put up a dress like that you bought in H&M, bought for €20, fiver, and then the questions start. What size is it? It's a 12. Please see description above. Okay. Is it a true to life 12? Or, and you're like, just buy the fucking dress. And then they start to haggle, €4.50. You're like, oh, please.
No, you see, I've always had clothes and, you know, like shoes that would be nice, but they're just not comfortable on you. I just throw them in the fucking charity bag.
It's easier. Well, I kind of went through a phase of, I need to make a few quid. And like, you know, I should be trying to, but I suppose I was trying to emulate. A friend of mine will only buy a new item of clothing when she has sold another item of clothing.
Okay.
So I was like, I want to be like her. But you're not, realistically, it's just a certain personality type that can be that rigid with themselves. And I certainly am not that person.
She's someone who's off the drink though, isn't it?
Like, she's pretty together. Like, you know, she's, but you know what? She gave me the best advice. She gave me the best advice ever. I can remember I was in bits about the demise of a relationship. Now, this was, don't worry, like, he knew he was in the relationship as well. This wasn't just a, when you refer to someone as your ex and you like, okay, you matched on Tinder, that was it. And you had a bit of a chat. But no, it was a legitimate relationship. I was so upset and I just have to laugh. It's like, I feel like the whole of Dingle has been with me on this journey because everyone knew I'd broken up with this fella. I'd be like standing in the middle of Main Street, just bawling my eyes out in the middle of the day. I was just a wreck. The whole town stopping the cars in the middle of the road to ask, was I okay? Like, just could not put up like the front whatsoever. Complete emotional wreck. But I remember she said to me, I thought it was such good advice. She was like, Judy, you know what? Step away from it and see what happens. That's all you can do. Everything else is outside of your control. There's something about the simplicity of it. Just step away from it and see what happens.
And was this about the H&M dress or about the fella?
It was a bit of both, to be honest. Okay. He did buy me the H&M dress, and to be honest, he was buying it off me, and he was like €4.50, and I was like, "Damn you! I gave you 4 years of my life." Like, it was just like, oh, a bit awkward. I think that is good advice, though. Step away from it and see what happens. And the answer is nothing happened. But it's still good advice. And that's the thing with those buy and sell things as well. It's always very dodgy. Like, it's just a segue. But it's always very dodgy because you're never meeting them in a very well lit area. It's always like by the bins at Lidl.
Well, I've heard of people kind of,
I'll be wearing a blue jumper.
Meeting people at the Spire to like fucking exchange a bag. You know what I mean?
It's just,
it's not for me. It's not
like come on, look, just I'll leave the wedges on a windowsill and you pick them up. Do we have to have that awkward, like, they come up and they're like, Claire? And then the person's looking at you.
I would prefer to give somebody a hand job in a pub toilet.
Well, you know what? It's probably more, it's a more honest, It's more an honest way to earn a living, that's for sure.
Less time consuming. I mean, the amount of time you'd put into fucking getting rid of the fucking hair.
Well, you're so emotionally invested because it's all the questions. Is it true to size? I'll give you 450 for it. Where do you live? Then somebody says, will I DM you? This is all for Fiverr. I mean, you're so emotionally drained by the time you meet them at the bins in Lidl. You nearly would give them a hand job because you're just that emotionally invested in it at that stage.
It must be so terrible, though, if they get to see the thing. You've gone through all these messages. Oh, it's a little
bit of a... It looks very different, doesn't it?
There's a bit of wear there, isn't there? And
you're like, I know.
So now the scooter is still there. I might find a home for it. I might not. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Ella might choose it for college.
She might do, yeah. I don't know.
That might be handy for college.
There ain't nothing wrong with the old scoot. The only problem about the old scoot is, say if you went to go and do something, you got to know what you're going to do with the scoot. You can't just leave it outside. Do you know what I mean? You're committed to
the
scoot.
You see, that's it.
Job thing where you can just throw it under your desk or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. It's not.
You can't enjoy your tapas.
I'm gonna walk. Yeah, I'm gonna walk away from it and see what happens.
Something about that advice though. Is that just me romanticizing the past? Is that not good advice?
No, it is good advice.
I think it is. It is pretty good. She's a savvy lady, this lady. Do you know what I got done this week? I got the old bits done. I was saying this in the Up to 90 WhatsApp group and people presumed I got the wax.
Did you get the wax? No.
I didn't get the wax because I'm still a bit nervous about the episiotomy. I know it's not going to, not going to pull the whole thing apart, but I'd still be a little bit nervous. And also, I don't know if you'd be the same, Emma. I know now you're a shaver because I've also been shaving. I think we've touched on this before. But for me, the person I knew the person doing my bits, shout out to Elaine in Pure Beauty, got the nails done, the eyebrows, the eyelashes. But for me, I can't get a bikini wax done unless it has to be two types of people can do my bikini line, either a complete stranger. Yeah. Or someone I would trust with my life. It can't be someone that I know, a friendly acquaintance. It has to be what you have to be in either camp because you're really making yourself very vulnerable there. I don't know. Do my flaps look okay? Do you know, I've nothing to compare it to. It's like, flaps? Are they weird flaps? Are they?
Would you be getting the wax? Are you getting the flaps waxed?
Well, I used to. Jeez, I would. I don't think I'd be chancing that for a while.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I'm just like, I don't, because my pubic hair, is it okay? Is it not okay? Like they were discussing pubic hair on Setting Sunset of an episode. And I was like, what is my pubic hair like? I really feel there's a lot of trust there.
I wouldn't be up for it, but I'm not, to be honest, I'm just not up for, I'm not doing a wax. I'll do the and I rarely get them done. I'll do the old eyebrow wax and stuff, but I'm not having anyone wax me armpits or wax me gay. There's not a fucking hope. I'm just not getting. And how much money am I giving them? 70 quid? No, not a fucking hope.
Yeah, I know. It does. I think it's a tough one because sometimes you do, as the hot wax is being poured on your hole, you do sometimes stop and think and say, oh, look.
What's it all about?
Have a boyfriend. Surely this stops once you get the boyfriend. But the answer is no. It just keeps on going. That ball keeps on rolling. But the one good thing about getting a boyfriend, I think, I don't know about you, Emma, I've decided you don't have to play tag rugby anymore. Thank God.
No, not doing anything.
But you still have to keep waxing your hole, which I think is a bit extreme by anyone's standards. But the plus side is you don't have the broken fingers from the tag rugby. So that's a major plus.
Dislocated thumb from the tag rugby. Like you see some people, right? And like absolutely nothing wrong with it. But like ourselves, they're a middle-aged couple, and we're middle-aged because, let's face it, how long are we planning on fucking living, okay? They're a middle-aged couple who've both been aging. And your man's there, and she met Phil when they were in their early 20s, and now Phil is in his late 30s. And of course, he's got a bit of a pouch. He's got a receding hairline. You know, he's got like three outfits he wears. That's pretty much it, apart from the stuff that he wears to work. But he's not even wearing that stuff anymore because he's working from the kitchen table. And she's fucking freaking out about, I need to get waxed.
I know.
Do you?
No. The answer is no.
Because nobody's getting waxed because I just like to have a wax for myself. Pull the fucking flap. That is not true. You're getting that waxed for somebody.
Of course.
Now I do shave because I just like it to be streamlined. I find I'm faster. I'm better about my daily business. But it does
make you swim faster.
It's not nice to do things for other people in terms of like your body or your appearance. That's cool. I just do it all for me. Like, no, don't believe that either. And it's all right to do shit because you want your partner to think it's nice. But just fucking leave the flaps alone. There's been enough fucking trauma from the day you got your fucking period.
I know. And I mean, honestly,
I'm starting the campaign. I'm not free the flaps, even though it sounds better, but I don't want them free. I don't want them getting cold and flapping around and all that jazz. But I just think maybe it's something along the lines, there could be a campaign of flap friendly, or be a flap friend. Be a friend to your flaps. And leave the hot wax in 2020.
Yeah, clap for the flaps might be good.
Yes. Yeah. At what time would be good?
When did we stop clapping for the healthcare workers, the front line? Do you like the way nobody said, listen, it was just nobody suggested it of an evening at 8 o'clock, and everyone's like, yeah, let's just leave that where it was.
But I think it only happened in Ireland.
Clap for the flaps. Yeah, look, and then, because I think, when did they stop in England? They were out doing it every night of the week there. Every Thursday at 8, wasn't that it?
But they're mad for the NHS, but in fairness, it is pretty fucking good.
Well, it is good, yeah. I mean, but like the...
I'd be clapping for it too, in fairness.
They do love their NHS, but there is something about... even a friend of mine who's back from London, and she said she went, she's been at home since the start of lockdown, went into the local medical office here in West Kerry, mm-hmm. and like did a blood test. And you know yourself, she just was breezing out that door, like, see you later, alligator. And the receptionist, and you never ever mess with a medical centre receptionist because they're mm-hmm. keeping the show on the road. And she was like, hang on. Sorry, that's going to be €60 for the blood test. And my mate was like, Jesus, it was just so alien. She was like, I don't even know if I have cash on me, because she'd always go to the doctor in England and never have to pay. But honestly, do you know, cap for the flaps and all the rest, but I do think, no, I definitely think that could be a thing, Emma, cap for the flaps.
I think we just need to show them a bit of... It can't be kind
could
to them.
Could this be what gets us into RTE?
Clap for the flaps?
I think, yeah. How could we combine that with the Debs pilot?
Well, I think what we do is we'd go and make our Debs. Your Debs story, we'd cherry pick bits out of that and kind of make it a bit more dramatic, okay? So we go and do a Debs, and we could pretend that we're up to 90 is still about the 90s. I think that would be important, that we would.
Yeah, sometimes.
You know, like that, it can be a handy one sometimes.
And nice to dip in and out of the original theme.
Yeah. And then what we would do is we go with a whole load of girls making their Debs this year. This was like part of the pilot, I think, right? And we go off to get glammed up. And then we actually sit around, well, they'd all have to be over 18 because you wouldn't want complaints or whatever, but we're all getting all the bits done, the nails and whatever, and then a couple of the girls want to get the flaps waxed, and we just sit down, we have a little bit of real talk about, but like, guys, why are we doing this to our flaps? And that little piece there of was kind of like just breaking it down with the guys.
Justifies the title, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we're all on the one level, and that's the little
five
bit.
Stars in the Irish Times.
I'm talking Joe Duffy, Claire Byrne, you know.
Oh, your old mate. Time,
my old mate, yeah. And that's how it's going to happen. Now, I don't think we're going to get the six episodes out of Clap for the Flaps.
Oh, no, I think a once-off, Emma. Come on.
How are we going to get Clap for the Flaps worked into the Debs? Clap for the Flaps.
We'll just do, I don't know, what's got a song with clapping in it?
There's got to be a Black Eyed Peas song with clapping in it, is there?
I wonder. I'm trying to think. So I'm going to look up song with clapping.
Do you want to get Fred in with the guitar there and ask
song
him?
With,
there...
No, we can keep... Oh, do you know what song I used to love with a bit of clapping? Well, we have Dog Days Are Over. But do you know what one I used to love? Jack and Diane. Do you remember that one?
No.
You know, here's a little story about Jack and Diane. Two American kids doing the best that they can. You know that one? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Laugh moves on. And it's so perfect. So we're surrounded by all these young, hip, emotionally intelligent teenagers. Yeah. And let's just drag them back to the early 90s with that song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's
with that heteronormative anthem. Jack and Diane, let's do it.
Do you think we'd need to get on Fair City for a little while before we do Clap?
I think the ship has sailed on that one. Like, I have been DMing Eric Lawler, like you wouldn't believe, and there's been no in so far. Are you still retaining some hope? We do have a lot of hope in Eric.
I don't know. I just feel like we need to get Fair City just to get the profile up, as you'd say, and then we'll get Clap for the Flaps.
Hashtag Clap for the Flaps. Who do we know? We need journalists to get in touch, to get this trending. If that isn't a hashtag, I don't know what is.
Clap for the Flaps.
Come here. I want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon people. So we have Marion, we have Michelle, we have Clodagh, Laura, we've got Maria, we've got Mary, we've got Dennis, we have Daniel. So thanks so much for supporting us. Now, we have an up to 90 WhatsApp group. If you want to join us on Patreon, you can be part of that exclusive up to 90 WhatsApp group. And also, we do have our extra episodes as well that you've exclusive access to. I think we'll do a live one next time, Emma. What do you think? We do a live one for Christmas?
Yeah, let's do a live one for Christmas. And if you're listening to this and you're not a patron, what's the fucking problem?
I mean, why? Like, it's just our dream. Is that we don't have to work. Myself and Emma, did you not hear the story about me being rejected as a teenager? I just feel, do you know what would help me get past that? Is just a little bit of, as Emma would say, a little bit of G.
I'm just getting pissed off with people now still thinking that they can listen to this, they can fucking slide into my DMs. Send me the laugh emoji in my story, grand. But starting getting on to me about blah, 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 blah. Whatever, saw this, thought of you guys. No, you may fucking reel that in. Think of me with your pocket. Don't be sending me funny, like, Katy Price stories that you saw on Instagram or whatever. Yeah, grand. But, like, no. Put your hand in your pocket. You don't even have to do the second tier. What's the, like, the fucking tip jar one?
We had
such a big fan of the podcast. No, you're fucking not.
We had two or three people drop down after the live toy show chat to the tip box. I was like, oh, I think it was my drunken text.
But sure, how tip box doesn't get in the WhatsApp, do they?
No, so they dropped out. They dropped. Do you remember we lost three soldiers? After our live,
Some people had to get out of the WhatsApp group because
it all got a bit too real, didn't it?
Well, there was Messages.
We're all living in fear of the screenshots from that one. No, I joke, just to say as well, you know, we all know people are under pressure. And so a couple of people did DM me to explain why they were chopping down to like the do you call it the tip? I think it is like just a tip jar. Every little helps. Of course, please don't feel the need to explain yourself. But we would really like if you support us, but please don't feel bad. Jesus, if you can't, it's grand. It's all a bit of crack-ish.
What?
It's all a bit of crack-ish.
You need to be your authentic self and be the person when we're not recording, when we are recording.
No, but you know, I did feel bad.
I need to hear what you say about them, Judy.
That is not true. How dare you?
You've taken it too far too many times. Fucking hell. Mouth on you.
Listen, it's the mouth on me. I know. You're so horrified by my bad language when I stop recording this. I just felt a bit bad people messaging to apologise. It's a bit of crack-ish. We would really like if you support us because we just don't want to work, basically. We just want to do our podcast and do our Patreon. And sure, look, if we had the luxury of not working, imagine all we could do with our extra bits and bobs. I see Emma's texting there. So look, I better wrap this up. That's when I know.
I was just trying to find the message from the person who was sending me stuff who wasn't a patron. I wanted to shame them, but then.
No, but I do think, I'm not just saying the same, but I actually, quite a few podcasts now I do support. And it's actually nice when you are in a position to do that. I think most people do value content. And, you know, it's nice to support people. If you can't, you can't. But we're very grateful to the people who do.
I'm not afraid to pull the plug on this. If you can, that'd be great. Thanks very much. Lovely.
I do love the nails. Thank you so much. Elaine has always been a nail pro in Pure Beauty. I haven't been there in so long. All my reference points were like 2010. I was like, is your husband still in Kiel? No, left 8 years ago. Okay. I'm so 2010 with my reference points. You see, the last time I was really into the self-care was like pre-nervous breakdown number 3. Do you know that kind of way? I was like really on the nails, the eyebrows, the eyelashes. I was living my best life. But yeah. I just feel like a new woman with the bits done. I just feel great.
Lovely to get that done now. Get a bit of me time. Get the bits done.
So we'll do a live Zoom at some stage. I haven't worked out the date, but we'll do... What day is this out? Wednesday. Sure enough. Yeah. We'll chat to you during the week.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so bye, Emma. I love you.
I love you too. Why am I so down?
Oh, yeah. So we're just going to end. And then it's actually proper goodbye. There's no after podcast chat.
Oh, where are we going? Yeah.
Can I just say, I love your basketball net behind you. Just shooting a few hoops.
Well, sure. I was doing that gig that you did on Thursday. I was doing on Friday. And I was all set up and I was like, oh, it's too late in the game now to move. So that's just what I started talking about. I was like, so obviously I'm pretty big baller. I'm pretty big on the back.
Wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm actually getting pretty good now. Nobody uses that. And it's still, you know, if that was something worthwhile, it would have fallen down and broken. Nobody uses that and it's never come down.
I think in our extra episode now, next extra episode, we need to chat about, do you remember the night, just as an ode to our original theme, the 90s, do you remember when everyone kind of flirted with being a basketballer?
Yeah.
What was that show? What was the show about the basketball team that we were all watching in the 90s? Do you remember that? The sitcom.
Oh.
Hang on. I need to find it before we wrap it up. Basketball.
Was it a bit
sitcom.
Of a. Was it
Hang
a bit
Time.
Of a... Oh, Jesus.
Oh, do you remember Hang Time? And I thought I was. I had so much in common with the protagonist of that because her name is also Julie.
Oh, nice.
And I just thought, yeah.
Well, but like basketball we're the same was person. A big thing.
Yeah, it was. And we all had the basketball net, so we all thought we were Judy Connor from Hang Time. And yeah, it was a flirtation, I think, in the late 90s in Ireland.
Yeah, I played basketball.
Of course you fucking did. course you did. All the cool girls played basketball. Where were you on the court? Do they have like actual like defense and forwards, or is everyone just all over the court in basketball?
It's a bit more loosey juicy, really, because it's so fast moving. You know what I mean? You know the way in other sports.
That's what I mean. Like you wouldn't be stuck in the one spot.
You come up with, I can't even fucking remember now, but you'd come up with, you know, different, I'm not using the right terminology, but different like formations, you know what I mean? Let's just say I wasn't fucking going for the three pointers, put it that way.
But I'd say you would have been great at the basketball, even though you're a teeny tot.
No, like I would have been
grand. A pocket rocket.
There would have been like girls now from Fairhurst, and they have a gold club up there. I was never in a club. I was any sport I was doing, I was just doing it in school. So I would have been grand, but like I never would have been. I was just going for the fucking days out. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, just getting out of school for the day.
Getting a few fucking smokes down at Santry, then go and do your sprint. Didn't win, shocker, you know, spark up. But I tell you something, for any of our young listeners out there, any of our 13-year-olds that are smoking and think that it's fine, because I know there's a lot of them out there. When you get into the second half of fifth year, the fucking smoke start catching up on you, because I remember a couple of times we were doing like relay races and stuff, and my PE teacher was like, Emma, are you okay? Like, what's going on? You know, because she put me like first or last. You know, you put me like the fastest sprinter. And I think I'd forgotten my gear that day. So I was wearing tights. So I just threw the shoes off and ran in my tights. And I think I just like, oh, it's just a skirt. What's the fucking smokes?
It's funny. When you said when you get to the second half of fifth year, the smoking catches up to you. I thought you were going to say, when you get to the second half of that basketball game, the smoking really catches up with you.
No, it's grand in basketball because it's all in quarters.
And then also, I can say, I was always a staunch non-smoker, because both my parents were such heavy smokers that it really put me off it. So
it's the best way to be a smoker if both your parents smoke, because you just have my mom was more wise to it. She probably smoked, I'd say, just under the 20 a day. I'd say my dad had no idea when he was lighting a smoke and finishing another one.
Smoking in the shower.
Yeah, he had the old B&H, so you get a few of them.
The ashtray in the bath. Well, I think, you know, I think with my parents, they did actively encourage me to take on smoking just to chill me out. But look, I probably should have done it, but I always said no. I do have to say, though, as a staunch non-smoker in the late 90s, doing my Lean Cert in 2001, I can just remember the old Cruisishkent, where I really shone in the oral exam, and just being surrounded by such heavy smokers, and they were just coughing the whole way through the Cruisishkent. And I was like, why did my mother not send me to a better school? I can't actually hear my aural.
That fucking cough went. Now, I didn't always smoke John Player Blue. I'd moved on to the Silkwood. People who smoked Marlboro were just like, fuck off. They were always just like, okay. But the fucking cough from the Johnny Blues was insane. You'd have to like run into your room and just try and have a coughing fish into your pillow. And I remember my mom was just like, she was trying so hard to get me to not smoke. And she's like, Emma, I mean, Jesus, would you not even think of it now? It's so ridiculous, like saying to like 15, 16-year-olds. So she'd be, Emma, Jesus, would you not even just try the ultras or something? Them John Player Blue, fucking
hell.
Yeah.
Well, my parents were the same, that they had such like snobbery about the John Player Blue. Like, okay, look, please, just if you're going to smoke.
Yeah, but they did. They totally, like, she was right. Like, they totally did cut the lungs off you. But, no, I miss the old smokes now. I couldn't tell you the last time I had a smoke, though. And my mum's been off them since Ella was born.
I think my mum's gas, because I was always asking her to quit smoking. And then I went kind of AWOL in Cambodia. I went to Cambodia on my own, and then nobody could contact me for 3 days. I was actually living my best life, but I forgot that people might think I was dead. So I came back. and mom had stopped smoking. So I think I'm convinced she made a deal with God, and I have quizzed her since. And she gets very defensive. She's like, no, I stopped smoking. I have my own reasons, but she refuses to give it to me. But I'd like to think that's the reason.
Oh, could well be.
Shout out to Cambodia. We're very big over there.
It's not the same crack now, the smokes. Like, big respect to anyone who's smoking, but it's not the same.
Well, and I think as well, as a former teacher, I genuinely do think, like, it's, in terms of teenagers smoking, it's nowhere near what it was. It's no longer cool to smoke, basically.
Oh, it's always going to be cool to smoke, Julie.
Okay, no, it is not going to be cool to smoke. It's no longer cool to smoke. And that's going to be the fun quote that I'm going to put in at the top of this podcast. Asher, look, I mean...
No, but have you ever seen a ride of a man smoke a cigarette?
Oh, well, no. I mean, there is... Look, okay, can I just qualify this by saying... Every man I have ever stood in Main Street Dingle bawling my eyes out over at 3 p.m. in the day has been a smoker.
Yeah, well, like, don't get
me
wrong.
I was never crying over the non-smokers. No, like, always been a smoker.
In all seriousness now, if I was a young single lady about town and I met a guy that smoked, it would actually put me off because I'm a non-smoker now. I'd be like, oh, smell of smoke. Like, don't get me wrong, it wouldn't stop me, but it wouldn't be like, oh, deadly, I might as well just crack back into the smokes now.
But No. But I suppose it's just when I was in school, all the coolies smoked. So I kind of associated with that as well, I think, that, like, you know, obviously it's now kind of, I do actually think with teenagers, it's no longer seen as, like, cool to smoke. I think they're much more health conscious as well. And, you know, a lot of them are more into sport or the gym or whatever. I mean, gyms in Ireland weren't invented in about 2003. So this is, like, a new thing for us. But yeah. I do think back in the day, like, every fella I was completely obsessed with was a smoker, but I think it was generally just kind of as a default because they were cool, therefore they smoked, I kind of found it attractive.
Do you know what it is though? They're so expensive now, and you just don't have the part-time jobs for the teenagers that you used to have.
You'd
be wasting their money on smokes when they're 15, 16. I'm sure it has to be harder to buy smokes when you're a teenager now.
Well, look, maybe that could be our next campaign, to raise money to buy smokes for teenagers who can't afford them. So we'll start with Cap for Flaps, just to get kind of the info on the times on side.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of work our way.
I would have loved the smoke campaign, because Jesus Christ, my poor parents, there was more charity days going on in my school than there was fucking days in the week.
The non-uniform days, it's just a Friday. At this stage, isn't
best
it?
Thing, yeah, you catch my dad when he's in a rush and he's at the door and you're like, I need money for boom. Oh, Bella,
straight up 50. But that's Jimmy, all about the G. That's why we call him Jimmy G.
That's Jimmy G. My mom was much more generous with the cash. She'd ask my dad for fucking money and he'd get out the shrapnel, as you'd say, and you're like, I'm going into fucking town. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's no pocket. I'm a woman. I have no pockets. Where do you think I'm going to put that change?
Oh,
you and your misogyny, Jimmy G. You're the person with the pockets in this equation.
Jimmy G's birthday on Christmas Day now.
Oh, happy birthday, Jimmy G.
I'll be talking to you before then. It's only like the 6th.
I was going
to
say, we've got like 3 episodes before then. Hold fire. We're in the final couple of minutes of the podcast. We can get 25 minutes out of Jimmy G's birthday after the next episode.
Imagine, I was like, no, this is my last episode.
I know. It wouldn't surprise me now. I'm always kind of a bit nervous and I'm like, any news? I'm just waiting for you to say, so I'm leaving the podcast and let's press record. It's going to happen.
You know I wouldn't do that to you. I'd at least hint it for a couple.
Please don't be. I know. You would be hinting it for a long time. Please don't be like your man and the devs and be like, oh, you know that podcast? That was a big mess.
That was just a joke.
You got that, didn't you? Oh, yeah, no, I did.
Anyway, listen. The podcast.
Goodbye, Emma. This is actually goodbye now, so don't be too upset, okay?
thanks for listening, everyone, over the last couple of years. It's been great. And follow me on Instagram or Twitter to see what I'm up to next. Thanks, Emil. Yeah, that's it. So thanks. It's been great. Really enjoyed it.
Are you going to end? I'm waiting to press end because you haven't given our little sign off.
God bless.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.